formats. It's something that I believe is a great benefit to your faith. So anyway, without any further delay, turn it over to Pastor Bill. Let's welcome.
Good evening. Well, I am very happy to see you are here for the last of this series on prophecy. We kind of have spent a lot of time dealing with a lot of different aspects, but today we are going to look at some of the practical aspects of prophecy in the local church. And I'm going to begin with the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the very first scripture, verse 1. It says this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. How many of you desire spiritual gifts? You should. He's telling you. Desire spiritual gifts and pursue love, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, I want to bring this concept to visible church. See, I want you to understand this passage is written for you. Just as much as we are encouraged to pursue love, and here at Visible Church, we do. We encourage you, pursue love. Work in love. Let love be your motivation. When helping other people, do it in love. And we want you to desire spiritual gifts. All of them. All of them. And especially that you may prophesy. I think we do pretty good on the love. I think we're somewhat, on the spiritual gifts. We could use more help on that. I think that we have a lot to do, a lot to grow on the prophecy side. Would you agree with me? Okay, he would, so that's all that counts. No, that's one area that we really need to begin to move and pursue for visible church. All right. To this point, we have looked at the historical record of biblical prophecy. We've touched on the lives of the prophets. We have talked about the difference between Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy, how kind of the focus has changed. And hopefully that we have established for you a foundation of understanding of prophecy, a biblical type of prophecy. Today, I want to focus on prophecy in the church today, specifically in visible church. You know, the spectacular nature of prophecy has a way of drawing people. It's exciting stuff. I mean, it is. And it's exciting for not just the person who does the prophecy, but also for the people that hear the prophecy. And it's easy to get kind of caught up in the excitement and end up heading down the wrong road. We don't want that to happen. Like any gift, it can bring good and it can also bring harm. Now, mostly in the realm of prophecy or the other speaking gifts, you know, speaking in tongues, interpretation, the harm that is done, I think, is mostly unintentional, but still unintentional harm is harm. And we want to avoid that. This is one of the reasons that prophecy is often shunned by a lot of churches. Because, well, it can get messy. It can get messy, especially when people are beginning to function in new areas. Right? Some pastors and some elders just don't want to deal with the mess. And so they just shun it. They don't want to get involved with it. Well, biblical New Testament prophecy requires of us, those who give the prophecy, those who hear the prophecy, requires humility. And yet, ironically, it can also be a great accelerant for pride. You have to keep pride in check when it comes to prophecy. Now, false prophets have a tendency to gather quite a following, and sometimes those who are true prophets tend to get criticized or shunned for their efforts. It's kind of weird that way. We're trying to make sure that you understand how it's supposed to operate so that we can be accepting of the true prophets and feel comfortable with what they're sharing and also recognize when a false prophet may be sharing something, whether intentionally trying to mislead people or just off on the wrong path. So we're going to try and help you discern between the two. Because there can be false prophets. I mean, wolves in sheep's clothing. We'll talk about the safeguards that need to be in place for the protection of the sheep. So, before we get into all of that about testing the word, let's talk about actually giving the word. How do you prophesy? How does prophecy come about? Well, let's look at Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews 1:1 tells us that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Various times, various ways. I'm going to talk about a few ways that God uses when he speaks to his people. Old Testament prophets were usually given some dramatic experience that verified the Lord's presence for them. You know, I think of Moses in the burning bush. That was kind of unusual. That was a dramatic note that going, oh, I think this might be God. That bush is not burning up. You know, in the Old Testament tabernacle, there would be this Shekinah glory. It'd be like a fog, a mist that you could hardly see. Also in the temple, you know, it was evident to them at that time that the presence of God was there. But in New Testament time, believers have the Holy Spirit abiding in us. We have the presence. We don't need some flashy, amazing thing to let us know that God is near, right? The Holy Spirit is in us. Now, out of the 9 gifts or manifestations that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, there are 3 speaking gifts, right? There's tongues, there is interpretation of tongues, and there is prophecy. Now, we're more familiar with speaking in tongues. I think most of us probably here do speak in tongues. We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we kind of have an idea and an essence of how that works, at least in our personal prayer life. Well, prophecy springs from the same anointing and inspiration that causes us to speak in tongues. Same thing, just a different form. Now, that in itself might seem a little vague, so I'm going to break it down even a little more succinctly with a couple of different ways that we can sense God is trying to speak to us. First of all, you might have a strong, undeniable mental impression. So New Testament prophecy is, as I've said in the past, it's receiving a revelation from God and then responding and reporting that revelation under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes you will get a very strong, undeniable mental impression. An idea will come that you recognize is not from you. It's usually strong. It's usually persistent. It's usually kind of that unshakable thought. You just can't set it aside. So that's one way that you might sense that God is trying to give a message to you and through you. Some people have a vision. When I say some people, I don't mean that only some people do. Anybody can have a vision. God can use any person who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit for any of these gifts. Now, you might have a vision, and in that case, it's a picture that is seen. And it might not be with your physical eyes. It might be more in your mind's eye. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, how you can have an impression and the picture is formed in your brain. If I said, you know, don't think about a scraggly looking raccoon, all of a sudden you still have now a picture in your head of a scraggly raccoon, right? And God can speak a word to you where he imparts to you an idea in picture form that has some value and importance. If you receive that kind of a vision, you kind of sometimes usually need to wait until you have some understanding about what that means. So if you receive that, unless you understand, unless the clear meaning is right there and you can relay that, you know, if you just came up to the microphone and you said, I saw a picture of a scraggly raccoon. I don't know what it means, but I saw that. I think you should know. Well, that's not very helpful, right? You need to wait until you have some kind of clarity as to what is the purpose of that vision that you saw. All right? The third way that can happen, just this sense of a spontaneous burst of words coming forth. And although it can be powerful, although it is unplanned, it's a strong manifestation that you feel, and you feel like you just have to get it out. I mean, there's this fire in my bones and I gotta get it out. Well, it still needs to be held in check for the right opportunity. We'll talk more about that as we go on with our do's and our don'ts tonight. So, you know, sometimes it's just that powerful, I gotta share this. Well, you'll want to hang on to that until the right opportunity arises. And then another way that God can use prophetic impartation is through music, through songs, through the playing of skilled musicians who are under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think that happens and we don't even recognize it because we're just in the throes of worship. We're worshiping. And sometimes the worship leader or somebody else on the platform might begin to sing a song that just isn't part of the lyric. You don't see the lyrics show up on the screen. Sometimes that can be a prophetic impartation. And sometimes musicians are also endowed with that presence of God and a prophetic playing. So kind of keep your eyes and ears open for that, but it's not usually, you know, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to sing a song. No. So you, if you sense some sort of manifestation like that, you feel like God is wanting to share a word through you to the body of believers, a word of prophecy, how do you proceed? And, you know, I mentioned prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues kind of flow along the same line. Some of these things apply to tongues as well, if you have a message in tongues. But we're not focusing on that. I'm going to pretty much stick to prophecy. But no, there's a lot that relates to both. All right? So you sense something. The first thing I want to do is make sure that we all understand all of us here are learning. All of us here are learning. And when we're learning anything, we are prone to mistakes. Who can agree with that? You know, I don't know about you. I live out in the country. And we have a mailbox that sits next to the road. And every winter, there is one heavy, wet snow that falls. And the snowplow goes by and it throws up, I don't know, must be millions of pounds of snow at that one mailbox. And last winter was no exception. And in that middle of winter, it breaks this strong, heavy wooden 4x4 post and the thing that holds the box in place. And so I had to go out there and fix it. So I get a hammer, I grab a bunch of, you know, like 3-inch nails, and I grab a couple of pieces of wood to fortify this thing, and I am out there in below zero weather, and I am hammering on that thing. Now, I can swing a hammer pretty well, and I can hammer a nail pretty straight, but I hadn't done it for a while. I mean, it's the middle of winter. I hadn't done any real projects where I did that. Even though I can handle a hammer pretty well, if I haven't done it for a while, it wasn't going well. And the wood is hard, and it's frozen. And by the time I got done, there were more bent nails curled around than there were straight going in. And it was like, this is embarrassing. I don't want the mail person to see this when they deliver our mail. But you know what? The more I use a hammer, the more I nail a nail. Any of you have ever hammered a nail? You know, that first time, it's kind of like you tap it a little bit, and then all of them things start to bend, and it doesn't go. We're all learning. The more I hammer with that hammer and nail, the better I get at it. And it's become second nature. But we're all learning. So there needs to be grace. We need to understand it's all part of the process. We want to see prophecy in this building. We want to hear what God has to say in the moment for our specific situations. And there are going to be times when we might miss it. When I say we, I mean you and us, where everybody here has the opportunity to miss it. So we're learning. That's okay. We want the gifts to flow. And if you step out in faith and you get it wrong or you do it wrong, we will not rebuke you. We will not shame you. We will encourage you And if we think it would be helpful, we will offer coaching for you, because we want the gifts to flow. We want them to flow freely, and we want them to flow in order, but we want it to happen. So everybody take a deep breath and relax. It's okay if you step out in faith and it's a little off. You'll learn. The more you hammer, the better you'll get at it. All right. There will usually, back to the, you know, we're into the practical do's and don'ts here. There is usually a person on the front row with this microphone. Usually it's Trish. If Trish is not here, it'll be somebody else. But you'll know there'll be somebody who is manning this microphone. If you sense a word that you are supposed to give to the church, you'll need to share that word with that person first. So again, just very practically, Trish is on the front row there. She's got the microphone. You sense, oh, God is wanting to share this, wanting me to share this. Go to Trish. Tell her what that word is. Give her an idea of what it is that you are wanting and you feel needs to be shared. She or whoever that person who has been given the authority to hang on to that microphone is going to determine if that word that you sense has some validity and when it might be a good time to share it. So not every moment that you sense a word is the right moment within the service for it to be shared. So in all cases, if you sense that and you go to Trish and she says, no, I need you to hold on, or no, I don't think we should do that this service, or I don't think it's going to fit in the flow of what's happening, whatever she tells you, be humble. Be humble. Be respectful of authority. She has been given the authority, or whoever has that mic has been given the authority by the leadership of this church to manage what's happening prophetically and in otherwise with words that are being shared to the church. So we have to be humble. We have to exhibit grace. And I can say this because Trish isn't here. She might get it wrong. You might have the right word for the moment, and she just might not sense that. Now, I'm trusting that she will know. It should become evident to her. But if she doesn't, and you know, no sense in you getting upset, have grace. We'll have grace for you. If you get it wrong, have grace for her or whoever's there if they might get what you perceive as wrong. Most likely, they're not the ones who is wrong. But it could happen. But you need to exhibit grace in any case. So here are some of the things that you should consider before you share what you believe God is revealing to you. First and foremost, in all New Testament prophecy, is it edifying? Is that word that you are getting ready to share, is it edifying? If you feel that it is, do you also feel that it is worthwhile? By that I mean it has some weight to it. And not just some weight for you, and that it sounds good to you, but does it have weight, and is it going to be edifying to the entire congregation? Because that's why you would come up and get the mic. If it's just something that makes you feel good, that's not prophecy that needs to be shared with the body. Okay? A word for the congregation will be in the realm of comfort and edification and exhortation. It won't focus on your personal needs or your personal state of mind, but it will be a help to all the people. All right. Another thing to consider. Is it the right time? Kind of already touched on this. Timing is very important. Just because you sensed something God was speaking to you a moment ago doesn't mean that the time is right to share it now. So try to be patient. Try to be patient. Sometimes the moment of your word won't fit with the flow of the service. There is a flow of the service. There is a way that things should be flowing. So again, don't be offended if you aren't given the opportunity to share that word that you felt was very important for that time. One of the things I just, in a practical sense, is you're going to have to put some faith in God and in the leadership of the church. You're going to have to trust that if God wants that word shared at that moment, at that time, that there'll be a way. He'll reveal it. Others will sense it as well. So you don't have to fight your way to make it known. God will open up a door for it if it's the right time. It might be the right word, but just at the wrong time. There are a lot of things that go into this, and I wish, you know, we had another 8 weeks. We could really nitpick all of this stuff so that you really understand everything fully. But you just need to know, put some trust in God and in the leadership of the church, that they know what they're doing, that God is moving and guiding them to make the right choices for this body. All right? So, that message you have, is it clear? If you only have bits and pieces and you're not sure how it all fits together, you need to wait and pray for clarity. Right? A prophetic prophecy needs to make sense. And I'm sure sometimes I've heard people say, well, God just keeps speaking this one word to me. They don't know why. They don't know what that word is supposed to mean for the entire body, but he just keeps speaking this one word to me, and they'll share that. Well, that's interesting, maybe. But if it isn't clear to the body, if it isn't bringing a message that makes sense to the people who are here, then it's not really what was needed for that time or that service. Is it clear? A public prophecy needs to make sense. It needs to, don't speak in riddles. You know, if it's still a riddle in your brain, then hang on to it until God brings clarity. If he brings clarity. And by the time, it has happened where he's brought clarity to some things I wasn't quite understanding. And by then, well, that time has passed. That word is not fitting for the moment. All right. Does it reflect God's grace? Is what you're sharing ultimately reflecting God's grace? So this is not a time to bring a rebuke or a harsh word. Right? Remember, New Testament prophecy is edifying, comforting. It's there for exhortation. It's not the time to bring a harsh word. Now, slight balance in here. A word can be strong. Okay? It can be strong and it can be challenging without crushing the spirit. There's a fine line there. So, you know, if you try and walk that line, be ready for correction if it needs to be. But a word can be strong and challenging without crushing the spirit and still be from God. In giving this message, can you be humble? Can you be humble? Be willing to have your words tested.
Yes.
And then humbly accept any coaching that might come. See, you have nothing to prove. Just have to get that through your head. Before you even get into this, remember I said it's humility. Pride has to go out the window when we're dealing with these kind of spiritual gifts. You have to be humble, and you have to accept that not everybody may receive what you have to say. You have to just share what God has given you. You have nothing to prove. Simply give the word and leave the results to God. Simple. And when you give the word, be yourself. By that I mean, don't be weird. Don't use strange voices, you know. Don't be dramatic in your movements and make it a show. Just be yourself. There's no need to raise your voice. I mean, we give you a microphone so everybody can hear you. Speaking loud or shaking or crying is not a sign of the anointing. I mean, I know we can become emotional because we're just so enamored by what is happening, but that emotion doesn't help us in the prophetic sense. Speaking loud or shaking or crying is not a sign of the anointing. Talk to us like you would normally talk to us. We want to hear a clear message from God and not be distracted by a dramatic performance. Now, I have been in services, I have seen it, where somebody was really, they were shaking as they were giving this message. And at one time I saw a guy fall to his knees and he's given this message. And after that service, people were going, man, the Lord was really moving. Did you see that? That was powerful. Did you see how he was shaking? And then just ask him. And what was the word that he gave? It's the word that's important. It's the word that's important. Remember, the overriding principle for all of the ministering gifts, particularly when we're talking about gifts to the congregation of tongues and prophecy, we get out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32 and verse 33. It says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." I emphasize, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So if you tell me, "I was just so overcome by the Spirit, I couldn't control myself," I would say that wasn't the Spirit of God. Or you need to get control of yourself, because the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, which means you can control it. You don't have to be dramatic. You can just be a servant of God and let him do the speaking through you. So any of those things that I've talked about, you know, wild and crazy ways of sharing the word, that's just not necessary, unless, you know, you're like an Old Testament prophet and God has given you some really weird way to share a message by digging a hole through the wall. Or and then we'll probably have other coaching experiences if that kind of stuff goes on. But when you're giving a message, be specific, be brief, be to the point. And if your message fails to reach that peak that you thought it would, or your mind goes blank, then just stop. That's okay. You know, don't begin in the spirit, get a little nervous, and then continue on in the flesh. You know, don't try and save something you thought was not going the way you thought it was. If it's not of God, just let it go. If you can't remember, if the word, you know, mind goes blank, just let it go. So let's talk a little bit more. I'll take you back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." We are to test the spirits. And in this particular case, we're talking about prophecy. Remember, neither the prophet nor their prophecy is self-authenticating. By that I mean the prophet and their message is not right simply because they say it is. It's not right simply because people might think it is. We have to test. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 20. It says, "Do not despise prophecies." Hallelujah. "Do not despise them." And in those days, despise didn't simply mean hate or dislike. It sometimes meant just to disregard. "Do not despise prophecies. Test all things." Test all things. "Hold fast to what is good." We are going to test all things. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. It says, "Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge." We want to judge the words that are given. It's important that they be judged. Paul is teaching us how prophecy functions within the local church. Right? 1 John 4, 1, is this a spirit from God or another spirit? Is this the spirit of God speaking to us or another spirit? Prophecy is to be judged. Now, the word "judged" itself seems to have a harsh connotation, and it doesn't mean that per se. No one likes to be judged. I don't like to be judged. But in reality, the evaluation or testing of public prophecy really is and should be an extension of an activity that we should already be applying to our own personal lives. By that I mean, I hope you take time to honestly examine yourself to test yourself, to judge yourself and your motives in the exercise of your faith. Do you do that? If you should do that for yourself, we should also do it in judging the words that are given. In judging or testing, we should operate with an abundance of grace, as I've already established, the same kind of grace that we would use as we judge ourselves. I can be pretty hard on myself sometimes, but somehow there's always grace involved too. Okay? Just saying. We don't want to become the judgmental, squinty-eyed, nitpicky, arms-folded Pharisee type of people sitting out there waiting for someone just to say the wrong word or use the wrong tone. That's not what we're looking for. That's not what we're talking about when we're saying we need to be judging the words that are given. On the other hand, we also don't want to be gullible. We don't want to be gullible. We want to test. Now, Ernest Gentile, in his book that we've been using kind of as a guide for this series, he lists a number of categories that should be considered when we're judging or testing prophecy. So, number one, the source. The source. Is this prophecy from God? Does it emanate from the Holy Spirit? Or does it emanate from a person? Or does it emanate from an evil spirit? A lying spirit? A spirit of error? We want to know. It's important that we discern the source of this message that we are receiving. In the listing of gifts the gifts of the Spirit that we find in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, I don't think that it's coincidence that discerning of spirits is mentioned right after prophecy. We need to be discerning. We need to understand what we're listening to and be able to judge that. Not only do we need to understand the source or judge the source, we want to judge the objective. Again, does the message exalt and glorify Jesus Christ? Does the prophecy edify the church? Is the content of the word or the way that it was presented draw too much attention to the person that was giving it? See, we don't want that. Rather, we want it to bring attention to Jesus. If it brings more attention to the person that's giving it, it's wrong. Again, grace. Let's have grace. I remember the very first time that I shared a word of prophecy. I was a very young Christian at the time. And I don't even know how young I was as far as how long I'd been in a relationship with Jesus by then. But I knew I had a word from the Lord, and I was so in awe. I mean, I was just, oh, man, this is a word from God. And they gave me the microphone, and I gave this word, and it was such a somber way that I presented it because of my own emotion and my own just first time. Wow, this is just... Anyway, I got a little coaching session after that. The pastor did approach me, and he said, that was a good word. That was really a good word. But the way you presented it was not good. You need to take out all of that emotion. It didn't need to be somber. It didn't need to be ominous in its tone. You know, and I kind of had a little deep voice back then, more so than now. It didn't need to be so ominous. It's like, okay. So there's grace. We need to know people will make mistakes. I've made them. You will. We all do. So, we need to consider the message given. Does the message line up with the letter and spirit of Scripture? And does it have substance? Is there some weightiness to it? That's the only way I can really put that. Is there some weight to it? When you hear it, you go, now there's something there. There's something there. The principle is simple. As far as lining up with Scripture, the Holy Spirit does not contradict himself. right? We can trust that any authentic message will be in line with previous revelation. If it doesn't line up with previous revelation, if it does, or if it contradicts more and more than that, if it contradicts, then we've got a problem. Is it a message that gives hope to the hearers? And does it say anything or even something worthwhile? Or is it just glorified advice or counseling? We get a lot of glorified advice and counseling at times. And that's not all bad, but it's not all prophecy. I'm trying to help you distinguish the difference. And I'm not saying a good word, an encouraging word, is bad. But you need to understand what is prophecy and what is just a nice encouraging word. All right. The other things we need to consider. The person who prophesies. That person who comes to share. Is Jesus the Lord of that person's life? I mean, is this a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit? Is there a reasonable measure of true godliness and holiness about this person? Now, that might sound like a pretty high standard, but you want to know that the people who are sharing words to the congregation, to you individually, is a person that has a relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's evident in their lives. Does that person display the fruit of the Spirit in their lives? I like the way George Malone puts it. He says this, without a character reference, I like that term, without a character reference, we are to remain quietly agnostic about what is said. You can be an agnostic in this sense. If you hear something from somebody that you have no idea what their real character is, you can kind of just put it on a shelf, ignore it for a while. He says, churches should not let those unknown to their community share their prophetic words until the character of such persons has been proven over a period of time. Does that person submit to the word of God and to the government of the local church? What kind of fruit comes from their ministry? As Jesus said, we'd know them by the fruit, right? So if somebody is visiting the church, this is their first or second visit here, and they get up and they have a great word for us, and they prophesied at all kinds of other churches, that doesn't mean we're going to, in fact, I would generally say they're not going to get an opportunity to prophesy here. Because we don't know them. We don't know their character. We can't verify or put trust in what we don't know. Now, I'm sharing a lot of stuff, and I'm giving a good deal of my own thoughts and heart in all of this that I think is right and biblical, but Pastor Ben has the opportunity to later correct me if he wants to. So I'm okay with that. I take coaching too. I can be humble. So if there's something that I say that you just go, well, you know, maybe we wouldn't go that far, you just let me know or let them know. Really, that's who you need to share it with. So, do they show fruits of the Spirit? Something else to consider, the kind of delivery, the delivery that is used. So, first and foremost, can those who are hearing this prophecy understand this prophecy? Does the prophecy fit with the flow of the service? What is the speaker's state of mind? Is that person in control? It's important stuff. Is the prophecy manipulative or controlling? Is the prophecy given in love? Again, it could be a stern word, but a stern word can be spoken in love. Is it given in love? And then we get to your own personal discernment. So, when a word is given and you hear it, does your spirit witness that this is a message from the Holy Spirit? Do you have that sense that this is not just a kind word spoken, another good piece of advice? Is this something that resonates in your spirit, that this is a message from the Holy Spirit? You know, sometimes good, meaningful words, even Bible quotations are used. And simply testing the words alone will only tell you whether the message is true or not. It doesn't tell you if the prophecy is true. I can stand up here and read scriptures and you can go, yeah, that's right, amen. But was that prophecy? Is that a prophetic word for this moment, or am I just sharing scripture? Sharing scripture is good. We do it a lot. But we shouldn't be calling it prophecy if it doesn't fit in that realm. When you listen to the message that is given as a word of prophecy, are you experiencing the peaceful assurance of the Holy Spirit through it? So you do play a part in the judging. Now, leadership in the church is responsible also to make sure that they are judging, and that if any correction needs to be made or any coaching needs to happen, that takes place. They can affirm a word or they can simply ignore it. There's a lot of ways that leadership can help promote and enforce, or not enforce, but encourage and uplift the prophetic word. But you also need, within your own spirit, to recognize if you're hearing something. You need to have a discerning spirit, a discerning presence of the Holy Spirit in you. And of course, that means you have to have that closer walk with Jesus yourself, or you're open to all kinds of deception. When you hear this word, do you feel inspired? Do you feel motivated to follow through with the challenge of the message that was given? These are all just signs for you to consider when you hear a word of prophecy. Is the word essentially having a positive effect on you? I'll finish up with just a couple of other thoughts. Kind of almost a more of a warning, and that is in the realm of personal prophecy. Prophecy that's given in a public setting like this can be a very healthy thing, because when it is wrong, it'll get corrected. There are people who have the Spirit of God and can sense when a word is not quite right, and they will judge and they will test and they will protect the sheep from something that is not right. But I have seen in my many years of Christian life those who believe that they're prophets and that they have a particular word for you. Michelle, I have this word for you. Come here. Let me tell it to you. And they'll take you off to the side and they'll share this word with you privately. Now, I'm not saying that that's all bad. I'm just saying you need to be wary of somebody who will not share a word publicly. Okay, if it's particularly for you, it's going to be the same way. It's going to be edifying. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to be comforting. And if I were you, just as a way of protection for yourself, if somebody has a word for you, say, oh, good, come here. Let's have somebody that you trust and respect from a spiritual standpoint listen to that word as well and help you if there's something that's weird or strange. People get manipulated by those people who find pleasure in sharing words personally and getting people all stirred up and getting maybe people to cling to their way or to their thinking, but they don't do it publicly because they know it ain't right. So be careful with personal prophecy. Personal prophecy can happen. Personal prophecy can be good. Just be careful and be wary, particularly again, of people you don't know. If Pastor Ben comes and shares a word with you in private, I think you're all right. Okay? I think you're in good hands there. But I can't say that about everybody that I don't know. And you can't say that about people that you don't know either. It's good to have other people involved in that. People that you know and trust who can be that second ear to hear what's happening. Sound good? All right. We're going to worship some more. And we are going to maybe have a little bit more after our worship time. So, worship team, take it away.